John chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Man, last week, of course, we've been in the book of John for a while, but we covered seven times Jesus says, I am, and then he would state something that he is, and we would study that. Then there's eight miracles in this book, the eight miracles in the book of John. So we check those out. Some people say there's seven. We use the drought of fishes at the end to do that one. So now we're clear back at the beginning. Let's get a big picture view of all 21 verses. Did you know that technically, even though we're in John chapter 1, we're going to start talking the story of Jesus? But listen, this is important because we're still under the Old Testament. Even though the Old Testament's back here, there's a blank page and it says New Testament. The book of Hebrews says this: a testament's not into effect until the death of the tester. Meaning, you don't get grandpa's inheritance money till grandpa's gone, right? And so the New Testament technically does not kick in till Jesus Christ dies, he's buried, and then he resurrects. So technically, even though Jesus Christ is getting ready to come on the scene, technically we're still under Old Testament law. You got to be very, very careful here, because the Bible says we should read everything in its proper context. So a lot of people like to say, oh, the words of Jesus are in red and they're the most important words. Well, the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this whole book is the mind of Christ. So it's our job to study. And a lot of times Jesus' words, even though they're in red, they're not in red in all Bibles. People just like to think that like it's written with his blood, you know. But what I know what they're saying is, man, Jesus said this, but a lot of times the context was under the Old Testament law. That does not apply to you and me. Jesus fulfilled the law. So what people think of Christianity is they always try to think Christianity is a bunch of do's and don'ts. Christianity is, and we got a book that's full of rules. That is so far from the truth. Our VBS this year is dive into a friendship with God, a relationship with God. Our God is relational. And he's always been after my heart and your heart. That's why he sent Jesus Christ to die. Because the Bible says we're all born in sin. And without Jesus, we're going to face an awful eternity. The Bible says hell. You can't die as a sinner. So Jesus Christ came and took our sin and says, now put your faith and trust in me. And if he becomes the payment for our sin, then you become what the Bible calls in Acts 11, like we become Christians. We become like Christ. And so being a Christian is knowing Jesus, right? So Jesus don't resurrect until the end of the book of John. But we are going to follow his ministry through and see exactly what he has for us and what we can learn about it. So you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and you got John. This is actually the fourth gospel. Technically, John's the only writer. Last week we looked at his personality, because it keeps saying John loves, and he had a special relationship with Jesus. He's the disciple whom Jesus loved. It says that over and over again in the book. He's the disciple whom Jesus loved. What's so special about it is not that necessarily he was easy to love. He was actually kind of a rougher guy. We studied some of his history, and he seemed to be a guy that even when he did speak, the few times he speaks away from the other disciples, he says things like, Lord, let's call fire down from heaven and kill these guys. I mean, he's just a hard character. So I think when he describes himself, he talks about himself, he says, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. I think he was blown away that God could love such a one as him. That's where we need to be. We need to be just like John. John's a beautiful picture of the church. And we need to be blown away that God would take a guy like me and love me, in spite of my failures, who I was, my background, my family, all the things I've done wrong in my life. God would look at me and say, and I love you so much, I gave my son for you. So today, I don't know how you're doing with your mental health. A lot of people, I know you don't feel so valuable today. But God said you're so valuable that he gave his son up for you. What a trade that was. That's love. The Bible says this is love. There's no love greater than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. So today, we're loved. Even in spite of your failures yesterday, in spite of your thoughts this morning that you know that weren't right, and they know you know that they weren't accurate. He loves you. He gave his life for you. So here's John, man. Let's go to John chapter 1, and let's look at verse 1. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Hey, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 5, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Then verse 6 says, "There was a man sent from God, whose name was John." Not the author John. This is the apostle John's writing. This would be John the Baptist. Verse 7, "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not." And then verse 12 says this, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's pray. Man, Lord, teach us. We need to learn today, and this book is spiritual and Holy Spirit of God. If you don't open our eyes, we won't get it. None of us in this room are intelligent enough or smart enough. So we just pray that we would see some illumination today. God, I believe your word's powerful. I believe it can change minds, it changes behaviors, and it can change our actions. We totally believe that. So today, teach us. Teach us things that we've never seen before. Teach us more about yourself. Amen. All right. Starts off in John 1:1, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Where have we heard that phrase before? In the beginning. Yeah, it's how the Bible starts. You know, so John just makes no bones about it. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the very first verse in the Bible starts off this way, and he almost matches it. So basically, let me tell you something here. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're going to define what this Word really is here, that he's with a capital W, the Word. Basically, what we find here is John does not hesitate to equate Jesus Christ with deity. In the beginning, God. And now John starts, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God." What we're going to find out here is it capitalizes the Word. Because what we find out is this Word is actually not a book. It's not just a bunch of writings. The Word is a person. He's speaking of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll make that clear as we go down through here, especially when you get down to verse 14. He ends this little paragraph by saying, "And the Word was made flesh." We know this is Jesus Christ. So, in the beginning was the Word. You know, God's a triune being. You've heard of the word Trinity before, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe that. That's why we believe man was created like him with a body, soul, and a spirit. God's a triune being. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, if you're quick, you can go there. It's clear back by Revelation. If you go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. Sorry, I'm struggling. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." Isn't that interesting? It totally replaces the word Son or the Lord Jesus Christ with the Word. Because that's who He is. 1 Corinthians 2 says, "This is the mind of Christ." God's Word fleshed out is Jesus. You'll never know Jesus outside of this book. Jesus never contradicts this book because the Word is Jesus. the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or it says, the Word. You know, something very interesting. Who's doing the church reading on the app? Most people, I think, in our church are, and I hope you are. I mean, I want you to get in the Word every day, but it's a good way to just get it. It's two chapters a day, usually. Did you guys read in Exodus chapter 9? If you're quick, go back there. We just read this morning. It was our today's reading. Exodus chapter 9, and it says in verse 16, it says this. Speaking to Moses, you know, Moses is the guy, God's going to lead Israel out. All these plagues are coming. Moses is scared. God gives him Aaron as a mouthpiece. And it says this in verse 16. The Lord is speaking. It says in verse 13, and the Lord said unto Moses, now skip to verse 16. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Moses, I've raised you up to show in thee my power, and then to take my name and declare it throughout the whole earth. That's why I made you Moses. This story gets actually repeated over in the book of Romans. If you want to go to the New Testament, if you're quick in your Bible, you can go to Romans chapter 9 and verse 17. And Romans chapter 9 and verse 17. In Exodus it says, and the Lord said, and then he gives four verses and he tells Moses, the Lord said, God said, God said. In Romans 9, as he repeats this story, he says in verse 17, and look at verse 15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy, right? Go to verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Oh, it's the same context as Exodus chapter 9. In Exodus it says, the Lord said, and in Romans chapter 9 verse 17 it says, for the scripture said. Do you see it? It's clear. The Word is Jesus Christ. This book that we hold this morning is God's Word. It's true. It's holy. Every word is perfect. This is the mind of Christ that we have in front of us. So in the beginning was the Word. So we might have had it in writing, you know, completed since about 100 A.D., but the book, the Psalm says that this book was orchestrated and in heaven before it ever hit planet Earth. When God created the world, you know how He did it? He did it with His words. You know, me and you put our hands to task. We like to build and try to create things. But really, we can't. God just speaks them into existence. And I'm here to tell you something pretty powerful today. This book, spoken into your life, can create a new creature. This book's powerful. People don't realize how powerful it is. You can go to any prison all over the United States. You can get in there and there'll be a hardened criminal. They're like, that girl is so wicked, we can't even have bed sheets in there with her, man. She'll hang herself or do something dirty with it. She can't have anything in there. And there's one thing they cannot deny. You know what it is? It's this book. It's still readily available to anybody. This is your last straw, dude. We don't know what else to do for you. Here's a Bible. And they leave. Half the people don't even believe it. The people handing the Bibles out don't even believe the book. But they're just like, why is that so ingrained in our culture? Because this is the only thing that's truly ever brought change. We're all born into sin, and transformation is going to take place when God's Word enter inside of you and me. It's called in Peter the incorruptible seed. Once you accept that seed and it plants inside of you, something begins to grow. Isn't that beautiful? Where are seeds planted at? They're planted in dirt. So somebody as filthy and as dirty as human beings, by our natural state, we're not good people. I don't know whoever taught that. But you got to tell that psychologist, tell that sociology professor, they're wrong. The Bible says we're born in sin. We're sinners. It don't get any more dirty than that. But you take this seed of this book and plant it inside a man or a woman's heart and watch what grows. And out will come people and it'll be unbelievable. We know what we're all capable of. I think if you're honest with yourself, you have no trouble admitting what a dirtbag you are, the things you thought of. At least I have no trouble with that, right? But God's Word has grown a seed inside of me that's unbelievable. And I know it's happened to a lot of you too. Notice John 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. This book we're holding today is eternal. It says the same was in the beginning with God. And verse 3 says, and all things were made by Him. Yeah, that's right. God spoke the world into existence. And if you look at Colossians 1:16, just write that down. It says, Jesus Christ, by Him all things were created. Jesus Christ created. You know why? Because He always has been. That Trinity's always existed. In the beginning was the Word. And so when Colossians says that Jesus Christ created the world, that's right. Talking the same business, the same thing, right? All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by Him. It's funny, people like to use this point to argue something like that they want or they desire. It makes me laugh a little bit. I mean, God created everything for His pleasure. And yet somehow people will find different kind of plants. They'll do something. And in their humanness, they'll be like, I bet we could smoke this. I bet we could grind this stuff down. I mean, I always wonder, I bet if we'd eat this mushroom, I bet it would cause us to have a great trip. You know, and then people want to justify it and just say, I don't know why. Why isn't weed legal anyways? God made it, didn't He? You know, that's like the silliest argument ever. You know, it's like just saying, God made this sharp rock and it's getting ready to kill you right now. What? No, it became a tool in the wrong person's hand for sure. Everything was created for God's pleasure. Not ours. Not ours. But everybody thinks that because we're selfish people. We just think that, man, you know, I come to church because it makes me happy. Well, church don't exist to make you or me happy. Even though, I'm not going to lie, I'm filled with joy when I'm at church with God's people and we get to open God's Word together, sing songs together. I like that whole process. But we're here for a greater purpose, for His glory, for His honor. That's why we're here. It says in verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, watch this. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5 says, and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. In Genesis, the very first thing that is really spoken, God says, and let there be light. It's the very first thing that comes out of His mouth. And you know why He said, let there be light? Because the Bible says the Spirit of God was upon the face of the waters. It was dark. That's where light belongs. Light belongs in darkness. So to have a bunch of Christian people that know Jesus Christ, that He's given us spiritual life, for us to gather and be together all the time, and we create this little utopian society inside this building, and it's all safe, and we want to protect our kids, and before you know it, we'll create everything. We'll create our own clothes, we'll create our own schools, because we don't want to be tainted by the world. That's the mentality out there, isn't it? Look here, a group of people to do that. You know, the extreme of it would be like Mennonites or Amish folks. And, you know, there's whole groups of them now that are moving kind of in this area, running good businesses, all that. And then just check it out. You know, you watch the evening news like I do. One of our own. A guy who's like part of a religious cult group where they don't want to be affected by the world. They want the world's money. It's funny to me, the rules they make up. Well, you can't drive cars because it's modern, but you could surely pay this dude to own the truck and drive it for you. That's the silliest thing I've ever seen in my life. But they do it all the time. And anyways, and then they had that bust up on I-70 at that truck stop. All that trafficking, human trafficking. And guess who was involved in it? Religious people. Perfect religious people. Isn't that sad? Yeah, it's a sad story. Let me tell you where light belongs. Light belongs in darkness. That's where light goes. For us to sit around and act like we're religious and we got our act together, it's just plumb wrong. When there's darkness, when you look and say, my gosh, that's dirty, hey, plant a seed there. That's where seeds go, in dirt. And you don't want to go over there, it's really dark. But I got a light. I'm learning to be the light. I can take light into darkness. And the roaches run. Rats hide. You never set the mouse trap in a rat trap. You never set the roach trap right in the middle of the living room, do you? And some of you would say, well, I've never had to set one. Well, good for you. I'll tell you where you set them. You set them in cupboards. You set them in corners. You set them on the edges of walls because that's where they run. They're always, and that's where you catch them at, right? Or turn on the light and watch them scatter. He says, in him was life and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness. Gang, listen to me. Light shines in darkness. We keep talking about our world and our culture is so dark and it's so evil. Shine the light. It's our job to shine the light. It clearly says here in verse 5, and darkness comprehended it not. Darkness can't comprehend light. But if you take a pitch black room and somebody just lights a lighter, one little light, and eventually you just sit there and your eyes will start, your pupils will start doing its thing, and you're like, it's illuminating this whole room, that little bitty light. It's true. That's the power of the light. This is the power of the gospel. This is the power of the word of God. This is the power of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Take him to dirty places. Take him into darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. You know, in Mark chapter 9 and verse 18, there was a guy that said, my son's possessed with the devil. He's got a dumb spirit. Not meaning that the spirit wasn't educated, he just couldn't speak, right? So my kid's all messed up here. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ gets involved in it. And in this dark situation, in this dark, the word is shared, and all of a sudden, darkness fled. There was a youngster completely delivered. There's other places in the Bible where it says, when the light of God's word got involved in that darkness, this dude that was completely out of his mind sat around in his total right mind. That's the power of the light. That's the power of the book that me and you hold today. In John chapter 8, there's another situation where they found a lady taken in adultery. They're like, we caught this lady. She is taken in adultery in the very act. That word taken in, she was caught there. That's exactly what the word comprehend means. Like she was caught. She was trapped there. So yeah, we can see evilness and demonic type of things. But what about a sin that just so easily besets people? There's a lady here that's not living a very good lifestyle. And Jesus Christ comes along in her darkness, in her dirtiness. And the word was planted right there in the dirt. He said, man, go and sin no more. Oh, and anybody that thinks they're better than her, if you're without sin, you can surely throw stones at her and kill her right now. And the Bible says everybody left because everybody knew. They knew they were born in sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:4 tells me and you that we're not in darkness. Once you meet Jesus Christ, you're in the light. Now we learn to be the light. You're in the light. We get in God's word, which is the light. It begins to transform our character and change us. And then all of a sudden, everywhere you go, you're an illumination. You become the good that the bad really demands. You become the seed that you can plant in the midst of the dirt. You become the light in the midst of people's darkness. It makes no sense for Christians to sit back and just say, I just want everything life has to offer me. And you just live for yourself. I want to be happy. I want money. Chris preached last night at the rescue mission. It was so funny. He told the story of God blessing him. He didn't even know who it was. Somebody gave him $500 and snuck it into a place. And he's like, what? It was just a gift from God. And everybody there was like, yeah, man, I wish I could have $500. I have $500. My life would be better today. No, dude, you'd be hiring a kite in 30 minutes. If you had $500, that's what would happen to you. Money is not your problem. It never is. Jesus Christ says what people's problem is, it comes from the inside. We're born in sin. And that void can never, ever be filled. You're in darkness, the Bible says. And what you need is the light of God's word. You need Jesus Christ to illuminate you. Man, I just need a better job. If I just had a vehicle, my life would be so much better. Man, if I had a different wife... No, if I had a husband, if I could just We say all of these things. And I'm not saying some of these things couldn't be good, but it's not the answer. It really is not. I know this much. Darkness dwells on planet Earth. There's dirtiness all around us. Christians tend to be intimidated by it and want to stay home. You want to try to stay clean. You want to avoid all that. But it's the very place that you should rush to. When you see something God-awful like that, that's the very place that needs the light. That's what's wrong with churches today. When people tell me, I hate organized religion. Well, join the club. I do too. It was never supposed to be that way. Churches were always tending, back in the early days, they seemed to be a hospital for sinful people, where sinners and broken people could come and find some light in the midst of their darkness. It's never meant to be the social club that it has turned out to be. And that's why people say, hey man, on Sunday, I don't know if you ever had the bright idea of Sunday, everybody wearing their best dresses and their suits and ties. I get it. I know where that is. You know what the problem with that is? Anybody that walks in the back door is an outsider. They never belong. They don't, because we set up the system that, man, it's perfect. We got to make money. We got to look, and we just got to be just this sharp. And that's just false. It's a false concept that we like to do. Even though Jesus, all the time in the Bible, will just say, yeah, God looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart, man. He don't look on the outside. Men look on the outside. But then you start saying things like this, and you're like, but our church does it this way. Well, you should stop doing it that way. Darkness needs light. And let's let them come. Let's take the light to them. That's what we do. Jesus Christ, we already covered this in John 8. He says, I am the light of the world. I am. I'm the light in the world. And guys, when life has got you down, and it gets all of us down at times, when the weight piles on, you just can't take any more. When depression sets in and your life is like, my gosh, I can't see straight. I'm in darkness. Verse 5 says, light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I've shared God's word with people, shared biblical principles, and I've had people literally, you know what they do? They reject God's word, and they tell me, but you don't understand. You don't understand where I've been, what I've done. You don't understand how my mind works. You don't understand my DNA. We have these kind of problems in our family we've had for years. So what you're saying is, when light shines in darkness, the darkness comprehends it. It overwhelms it. It takes it. What you're saying is, I don't believe what the Bible says. That God's work spoken into your darkness won't make a difference. That's what we're admitting to when we live this way. But everybody does that. Everybody does this. They seem to, and it's simple. We look at it and it's like, my gosh, that's a pretty simple principle, isn't it? The light shines in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. That we could make a difference in our culture. How do we fix the county? How do we fix our state? Our state is dirty rotten. You know that? The state of Illinois, when you look at all the states, Illinois is always at the bottom, especially on the negative categories. It's like, my gosh, we live and suck, man. That's just how the government works. It's very corrupt. And part of it, you know why? It's Chicago. Chicago's the third, probably soon to be fourth, but the third largest city in the nation. When you got a big city and big buildings, it draws a lot of people. So there's a massive amount of people crowded in a small geographical location. If you put a bunch of dark human beings together, and when I say dark, I'm speaking of the darkness that's inside of people. I'm talking about the dirt. When you put a bunch of people, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be 35 gunshots yesterday. That's what happens. Chaos takes place. Politicians start living there and wanting the votes from that place. It's just dirty. It's the Cook County. And well, what's the answer to all this then? It's so gross. Just, man, I just avoid Chicago. Now, the Bible says that light's supposed to go in darkness. And we're just going to avoid it. Yeah, stay away from there. It's very dangerous. But my Bible says that light is more dangerous than darkness. Doesn't it say that? Doesn't it say, and darkness comprehended it not? But we tend to look at the dark and say, oh yeah, just don't do that. Avoid that place. You know what those people are like? You don't want to go down there. Really? Every time I've ever clicked on the light, roaches always move. They always move. They're uncomfortable with it. They really are. Because, you know, light has a way of exposing things. And not everybody's going to be happy about it for sure. But I believe that the darkness of my life, I believe when the light of God's Word shines in, I think the light is greater. The Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't it amazing here when he starts talking about all things were made by him, him was life, and life was the light of men. If you look in Genesis, by the way, when God said, let there be light, everybody assumes that's the sun until you get down to day four and he creates the sun. That light's not the sun. It's not the sun that we see in the sky today. You'll find out there's a force of, you'll see it's like good and evil, right? In the beginning was the Word. God said that let there be light. That light just bam. It always needs exposed. And that light is now exposed. And yet day four in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 14. If you wanted to, everybody can get to Genesis quick. Just go to the first book of your Bible. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, he says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Now, this ain't the light that we found over in verse 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light, right? Now, look at verse 14. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, divided the day from the night. Let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, for years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and it was so. God made two great lights. Here they are. We got the sun and the moon, right? Then you get down. I like when you get down, you finish it down in verse 19, and it says, and the evening and the morning were the what? Fourth day. Day four. I think it's interesting. Do you guys know that verse in 2 Peter 3 that says, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day? Check this out. Day four. The sun was created. Day four. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 4,000 years of human history. John chapter 1 verse 1. Jesus Christ shows up on the planet because he's the light. He's the Son of God. Matter of fact, the Bible calls him the Son of Righteousness in Malachi. Watch that S-U-N, son, and S-O-N, son. And the Bible sometimes will do this for you. You're like, what? I thought that was Son of Righteousness, S-U-N? Yeah, that's right. That's Jesus Christ. So one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So when that sun was created, it's just a beautiful picture. And we know that we've already talked about the Trinity. And the sun, you know, has three rays that penetrate from it. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it talks about everything was created to show us something invisible, something that's supernatural. And so you got the heat rays. So heat rays, they can be felt, but they can't be seen. That would be a picture of the Holy Spirit. Light rays can be seen but not felt. That's a picture of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Seen but not felt. Jesus is always the visible part of God. And then we've got these, the atnic rays that penetrate. They can't be felt nor seen. It's a picture of God the Father. They put out three rays. It's a beautiful picture of the Trinity. And so the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. So just to let everybody know that in the beginning was the Word, capital W. This Word is obviously who? Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You want to hear from God? People all the time, man, I've been praying, man. I've been praying, man. Just want God to give me an answer. He spoke. He's given us a book. What are you just hoping something's going to fall down and you're going to get it? It could be an acorn, but it could be a grand piano. Haven't you seen the cartoons? It happens all the time. Go to the book. In the beginning was the Word. The beginning of my day, you know how it starts? Just how God started it all off. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus and God the same. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. Without Him, not anything made that was made. He starts building a case that before Jesus Christ was born on planet Earth, before He came out of a human womb, He was already here. He was already here. You actually find Him physically popping up in the Old Testament a few times. And it's like mind-blowing. You'll see it be like, oh my gosh, and the angel of the Lord stood up and went to town. Hey, verse 4 says, and it was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay, listen to this one. Are you ready for a little? A lot of people won't agree with this, but the Bible teaches this. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no life. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and men. It is the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Don't fool yourself. Church won't do it. Religious activities, giving money, none of that stuff will hold a candle. The Bible says it was life, and life was the light of men. Men have no light in their lives outside of Jesus. There's no life offered on planet Earth to people. No real spiritual life. Wholeness, joy, peace, and comfort. None of it is offered to mankind. None of it is true. None of it works outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I was sitting in your shoes right now, I would stand up and say, amen to that, man. Preach that some more. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that? In Him was life. He can give life to people. That girl needs new life, man. That guy over there, that guy needs a serious change in his life. And we're just going to sit back and say, stop drinking. Stop drinking, you stupid idiot. Stop drinking. And the guy will be in tears if he's honest with himself. And he's like, I've said that a million times and I can't. I can't. And he's right. Because he has no life in him. He's trying to put life in him. That's why he's doing that very stuff. That becomes a byproduct. His drinking's a byproduct of something already wrecked and missing inside. The problem's not alcohol. The problem, like Jesus Christ said, inside of man, is that emptiness. What's evil is not what men put inside of them. What's evil is what comes out of us. Because we're born that way. You ever watch two kids? Just go over into our nursery over here. Two little kids crawling on the ground. All of a sudden, one of them will just pick up a little truck and just whap. Like, where'd that come from? That was a learned behavior. They learned that from their mother. Smacking that kid. I got news for you. It was just natural. Righteousness is never natural. Sweetness is never natural. Forgiveness is never natural. It's always natural to say, mine! I don't even like that toy until somebody else plays with it, and then I'm ticked. That's just natural. Why? We're dark. It's just dirty. That's all. You watch two little kids, they'll just reach over and grab their face and just squeeze it. And I'm like, boy, what's that all about? That hurts, doesn't it? Well, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The only spiritual life offered is through Jesus Christ. The light shineth in darkness, and I believe the darkness cannot comprehend it. Do you believe that? I believe it. I really believe it. That's why I'm doing this for a living. I believe in it so much it changed my life. If I could just get the word out and tell more people. The whole goal of having a church was to get church where we got in the light of God's word and we grew in this book, and then we all begin to live for a greater purpose. That was the whole goal, is to get this thing into multiple. The only way I think and see is we got to go places and plant churches so groups of people can gather, get in that book, and then go shine the light. That's the whole point. You know how it is, shine your light. Sometimes you get burnt. Sometimes you come in, sin overtakes you. We come in here, we get some healing. This is the huddle, right? We're pushing through our pain, and we're learning God's word and having a team of people. Do you know how many people don't have a team of people? So many people don't have a good church. They don't have it. And that was our goal, is to plant one here. I wanted to plant a church like the one that taught me the Bible and said, hey, take this to the world. And God sent me to Monmouth, Illinois. He sent me to Warren County because He said, there's a lot of darkness there. It needs some light. There's a lot of things not growing there for the good. So if you could take the seed of my word and just put it inside of a bunch of dirt, it would happen. I'm going to end on this one because we could go and go and go on this chapter. And we'll pick it up next week. But, you know, I want to end it with verse 6 because verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So in the midst of this telling us the word, life, and light, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. It says he came for a witness to bear witness of the light. I mean, he wasn't the light. He just bare witness of the light. We're not the light. That's Jesus Christ, right? But we bear witness to the light. This is what John did. And by the way, I want you to know something. When God, once human beings hit planet Earth, when God wants to send light, listen to me, this is a big one today. He always sends a man. Always. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He sent a man. We read it this morning, the last couple days. God wants to deliver the nation of Israel out of that darkness and bondage they're under. He goes to Moses and says, hey, Moses, you're the man. I need you to go take my word. And I need you to go cause a ruckus. I need you to go make a mess over here. When Paul steps on the scene, the Bible says, and Paul, most of the time it's been the nation of Israel, but I'm getting ready to go to the Gentiles. And guess what? You're going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He's going to send a man. In Matthew chapter 9, God says, I'm telling you, the harvest is ready. And we like to think of that like, hey, harvest is ready. We need to go out and pick the fruit, right? I think sometimes a better way of thinking of that is, it is so dark over here. Would somebody go shine a light? You ever do that? You know, you need a little light. I love those headlamps they developed because then you could, everywhere you look, that light follows you. Because, you know, we've all held lights for our moms or our dads, man. And you just, and what you do is, and my wife's the worst at it, to be honest. Because she's a task doer. I'm doing a task. I said, shine this light right here. So I get my glass out and I'm trying to do something. Because my wife, wherever she looks, she takes the light with her. I need it right here. Focus this light right here. This is where it needs to be. Every time God wants to shine a light, He says, hey, the fields are so white unto harvest. And then He says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. When you read that passage, you're like, man, we got to pray. There's a lot of darkness out there. There's a lot of dirt with nothing growing. It's our job to go out in the midst of this place. It's our job. It's our responsibility. Why wouldn't we want to? And then you're like, man, we need to pray about this. That's what He said. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. You got to read one more verse past it. Because it starts chapter 10. And you know what chapter 10? He gathered these men together and He says, so send I you. Oh, they are supposed to pray that the light would shine in darkness. But He sent them and said, oh, that don't excuse you from being the light. You got to go and be the light. I love that passage. I wanted to end with this today, that God always sends a man. You always find that, and that's why when God wanted to come to planet Earth, guess what? The Word became flesh. Jesus Christ shows up, looks just like you and me. He's not the same. He was virgin born. He had the blood of God inside Him. He wasn't sinful, but He was human, right? And so, hey, we're entering into VBS next week. And I think the powerful part about all of this is going to be, you think of God, you think of religion, you think of church. It's pretty big. Holiness. Ah, holiness. My gosh. How am I going to accomplish that? What's crazy about this is God Himself, and I got a whole list of attributes of God. Everything about God. He's a spirit. He's love. He's light. He's a consuming fire. He's a fatherhood. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. He's eternal. He's unchanging. He's righteous. He's merciful. I've got a whole list of things that God is. Here's what's crazy about it. All these things that God is that is so unreachable for any human being, impossible to get to Him. God came down in flesh and put it on our front porch. Oh, God, I'm not sure I can be holy. I'm not sure I can be righteous. God, I'm not sure I could be that guy. No. Mike, I'm that guy through the person of Jesus Christ. This is what God is saying. And if you accept that gift and into your darkness, into your dirt, I'm going to plant this seed. And it is going to take root and it is going to grow. And God, and guess what? For me, God sent a man to my life in 1985. And this guy, I was at a church camp and this guy shared with me the gospel and it changed my life, man. I seen these words and I thought, I don't know where I'm going anyways. I don't know what life has to offer for me. And all of a sudden, the light of the gospel came. And I'm like, and the life was the light of men. And I was illuminated. And I accepted Jesus Christ back in 1985. And I'm so thankful for Michael Dimoff. Man, I'm so thankful that guy took an interest in coming into my darkness and shining some light. Because it made all the difference in the world. Wow. So church, if you're in darkness, it can't comprehend the light. Now, you might choose it to. You might choose to sit in your ugly and in your darkness and just say, oh, you don't understand. That's, and people today, you know what they use? We all know what they use. And I hate even saying this because every time I do, it seems like somebody leaves the church over it. They use this mental health card, mental illness card, and all of a sudden the Bible doesn't apply to you. And you know what I say to that? You can leave because you're wrong. You're dead wrong on this. This book can change the way you think. It can change your life. We've seen it time and time again. Last night we go to the rescue mission in Galesburg. There's more people than ever at that place. In a nice summertime, people used to be on the streets. You can sleep places. Go wash at the YMCA, right? You could do all that. But now wintertime, it's hard in the Midwest. The place would get crowded. They say they have more in attendance right now than they've ever, ever had in that new location. So between the men and the women, there's 40-plus people there, you know, claiming homeless, and a lot of them are claiming crazy. They're claiming insanity. And I, you know what? The thing I loved about it is, and Chris Mack last night spoke. We went and I did a little music, and Chris preached the word. We did nothing but just kept shining light into darkness. And you'll look out there, and we're in the middle, and people ain't paying attention, doing their thing, and you'd hit just the right song. And it'd have a nice strum to it, and all of a sudden you look up at people, and then people put their heads down, and you'd see a guy over here trying to hold back his tears. And you know why? Dude, this is light into your darkness. If you would open up and accept it. This is a seed I would love to plant deep down in your soul, but I can't put it there. I can put it there, but you've got to open that up, right? It's the door with no handle on it, right? I don't have the handle. The handle's your responsibility. You open that thing up and Jesus Christ will move right in. And guess what? All the dirt and the addictions and the filth that's involved in your life, darkness won't comprehend it. You fill it up with light. You've done that experiment. Remember we used to in science, they'd take a big dirty pitcher of mud and just dirt and water and cloudy and nasty. Just put it under a running faucet. And it just takes a few minutes. And then you look back, and by the time you go back there, you're like, I could drink out of that. That was so vile and filthy. Now I can drink it. And you know why? Because the darkness can't comprehend the light. Dirty and clean. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no stain that it cannot remove. It's not tied with oxy. It's the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, blood, what an ingredient to talk about stain. It stains things. People hate red stains, right? Spill it on your carpet. You're like, great, how are we going to get this out? Well, I'm here to tell you something. The blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanses every sin. It does. That's why everything from pedophiles to drug addicts to whores, that's the people Jesus Christ says, and they're totally different now. They're like, yeah, that lady's a whore. No, she's a new creature. The Bible calls her a new creature. Oh, she did those things. Oh, he did those things. That's not who he is. The light came into his world, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. And the Bible says, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And John says, hey, I'm not the light. And gang, we're not the light. But we know the light, and now we're going to use it. You know, I like those lines in them cowboy movies. People will say like, I'm coming. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me. You know, you're like, yeah, I love that line. But it's actually a little bit opposite for you and me, because we pray God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm coming. And when I come, I'm bringing heaven with me. I'm bringing this book. And I'm shining this light brightly in the darkness. I'm planting these seeds all over this dirt. And the Bible says, now Satan can remove the seed. But do you know once that seed grows up in a full tree, the only thing Satan can do is lodge in its branches. He can't take it anymore. Darkness can't comprehend the light. Let's pray together. As we enter into this VBS, I want people to know that as awesome as God is, this is what's nuts about it. He wants to be our friend. Like, He makes this thing so simple for you and me that He calls Himself life. Some people say, man, all I feel like is darkness and death. Yeah, He's life. He's the light of the world. So first of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ in here, you're in bad shape. I'm not going to lie. The Bible says your spirit's actually dead. He wants to bring life to it and make you alive. Is there anybody in this room that you would say, I want to be a Christian? I've never met Jesus Christ. That's how you become a Christian. Jesus has done the work. So if you've never personally met Jesus Christ, and I'm not saying clean your act up, or I've done this, or I need to stop doing that. No, it's not none of that. You probably don't have the strength or the fuel to stop doing your bad habits. You need Christ first. So is there anybody in this room that would say, I need a Savior. I've never met Jesus Christ, and I want to meet Him. You can know Him today. He makes it that simple. He's come on our behalf. I'll have somebody show you in the Bible how you can meet Him. Do you know Jesus Christ? Is there anybody that needs Him? You got to wave your hand at me or something so I can get my attention. If your heart's beating, you're like, man, I'm not sure about it. Well, make sure. Jeez, make sure. Don't leave this place. Doubt. Now, Christian, you and me. What excuses are we making? Some of you are still in darkness. You're still in depression. You still can't get over your bad habits. All of these things that we all tend to fight with. Do you really believe that the light, that God's word, that your darkness can comprehend it? I'm telling you, if you believe God's word and put it right where it needs to be, yeah, but there's just one area of my life, man, it's a little bit dirty. It's like looking at your lawn, you know. You're like, oh, yeah, I got some bare spots. Well, guess what? Do something about it. I just was hoping. I've been hoping for the last 5 years grass would grow over there. What about taking a rake, scratching that dirt a little bit, and throwing some fresh seed down? Well, that's a genius idea, isn't it? Why don't you take the dirt in your life and bring it to the Lord and say, God, I'm willing for you to scratch this up. And then you plant seeds of God's word right in those dirty spots. That's where things grow. And you'll find great growth in that area of your life. He's the life. The darkness can't comprehend it. Some of you got relationships. You're like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. It's terrible. It don't have to be terrible. You got to put light in the darkness, right? Wherever you put the attention, things will happen. But this is God's word, man. That's where it needs to belong. And so I just want to encourage you, man. If you're not having victory yourself, you need to say something. Because what we'll do is put people with you, spend time with you to get in God's word every week, show you how to apply it into your life. It's called discipleship. That's what we do. We're experts at it. Jesus, thanks for your word today. Lord, I'm so thankful. Lord, I want to thank you for our missions team in Belize. I want to thank you today for those people that are over there and families behind that are sacrificing. God, that's what we want to do is we want to take light into darkness. And I pray this week in Belize, I just think of all the families and the children that, Lord, they have nothing. Darkness. They have no future and no hope. I'm so thankful that our team was willing to share this week that you want to be their friend. Yes, you're the creator God, man. You're just that big. Yet you also want to make yourself that available. Lord, and I pray this week that we get it. We pray that this building will be filled with young people, that we can give them hope and we can give them light. God, I do believe your word, that darkness can't comprehend the light. I believe it, man. I'm going to choose to live in the light. I'm going to choose to live in the life that you've given. I pray, Lord, there's some victory to be attained in this room. And I just pray that men and women would receive it, man. Thank you for your word today. Jesus, thanks for the life you've given us, that you died, bled for us. Thank you for resurrecting from the grave. And now we have life because of you. God, it's been so good to be in church, to sing songs, to hear from you. This is the first day of the week, and we're starting it off right. Our perspective has now changed. It is now heavenly. It's now eternal. It's better than what's around us. I pray we leave this place today knowing that we are light shiners, man. We are seed planters in this dirty place. It's in your name we pray. Amen.